Hello, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We're going to have a wonderful program today. Before we begin, though, it is up to me to turn to you, as I always do, trying to see whether you might be interested in contacting us. We'd love to hear from you. What we'd like to do is give you two ways of reaching us. First, you can send us a letter. By doing so, please send it to the following address: Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. That's Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. Now, the zip code in Greenwich is 06836. That's 06836. If you're on the computer and would like to email us instead, please do so. Here's our address: clemons10@aol.com. Let me spell that for you. That's C-L-E-M-O-N-S, then the number 10, at AOL.com. While you're on the computer, I'd like to invite you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. And you can find Spirituality for Today at this address, spirituality.org. That's spirituality.org, and it's important because we don't want you heading off to some other location. And while you're there, we have the opportunity to listen to our program, Thoughts for the Week, and other archived editions of this program. And that's great because you could do so at your own convenience. Well, now it is time to joyfully welcome my co-host, Mrs. Dorothy Riera. Welcome.
Thank you, Father. Always a pleasure to be here with you and our special guest today.
Well, it's a delight to have you join me again, as the two of us would like to welcome our special guest today, Father Bruce Robey. Father Robey is the chaplain for campus ministry here at Sacred Heart University in Fairfield, Connecticut. That's, we tape our programs at their FM station. And so Father Robey didn't have too long to travel to get here today. But you have a long time to travel to get to the United States, that's for sure. Yeah. Let me welcome you here. We're going to talk about campus ministry, things that are going on with you here at Sacred Heart. But first, we'd like to ask you a little about your own background. How did you end up being here?
Okay, I was born on a very small island in the Mortlach region in the state of Chuuk, Federated State of Micronesia, southwest of the Hawaiian Islands, or south of Japan, next to Guam, just about 1 hour from Guam.
Oh, wow.
Born in a small Catholic, which is dominantly 100% is Christianity, and I was born in a family of 10 children, five boys, five girls. And
Do they tend to have large families?
It is, because the more beakers you have, the more you are able to help each other in farming and fishing and everything. So growing up in a big family, I'm always the last one, and church is very important part of our culture. Every day we have to go to church, and I remember that when I was a kid, my mom always wake me up in the morning, take me with her to go to morning mass or church every morning.
Mm.
So by doing that, growing up, I felt that there is something in myself that I wanted to be a priest. I felt God's peace in myself. There was growing up on the island, I started to go to church without her. Then that's when I realized that maybe God is calling me for something. So on my island, it's very easy to concentrate on church because there is no distraction. There is no video games. There is no mall. There is no satellite TV to watch. So mostly nothing. We don't have island power. We use the moon and stars for light at night. We use kerosene lamp fueled by the gas. We use that for studying. So growing up, I live a very simple life. And when I was in 8th grade, the principal came and talked to all the 8th graders. He pointed to each one of us. You're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be a doctor. When he pointed to me, he said, you're going to be a priest. So that's the first voice, I think, maybe from God, indirectly from God. And I say, how come you knew it? But I don't know why you knew it. Maybe that's what it senses. Then one time, every Sunday after Mass, for the first Sunday of the month, after service, we have to gather in the meeting house so that the catechist can tell us what's the intention of the Pope through the month, each month. So during that time, we talk about that the church need more religious people and priests and nuns. So when he was talking about this, I feel like he was talking to me. Mm-hmm. I was trying hiding from him because I thought he was talking to me. And then I realized that that must be God talking to him, to me through him. So when I was in high school, I kept thinking about it until one day, a seminarian came to our island to the public school I went to teach catechism, Bible class for us high school students. Then I attended the Bible class and I was really interested in studying the scripture. Then from that time I asked him, I say, could you please help me? I think I want to be following you, but I don't know how, where to start. Mm-hmm. Then he told me just to be studying, study hard, and go to church and pray every day. So I did that. When I was transferring to the Chuuk State, the main island, Oona, that's when I met other people they have the same interest like me. So at the high school when I went to, on the big island, there were some girls and boys, they wanted to be a nun and a priest at the same time. So I make friends that time. So we support each other, we go to church every morning, we go to rosary every evening, we go to youth group every night, and that strengthened my vocation to the priesthood. In the meantime, we started to see priests once a month with those boys that we were thinking we want to be a priest. So we started to see the priest once a month, so he guide us in our spirituality and he helped us what to do. He tell us what to do throughout that school year. So when I was graduated, at Bounty Island, I don't speak English. They teach us in our language, so I graduated from high school. Then they sent me to a Catholic school called Saruman Chuuk Academy. Oh. For 1 year, just to learn English, mm-hmm. before I went to University of Guam to study further English over there. Mm. So I went to Saruman Chuuk. I studied English for 1 year. Then when I finished, I applied to University of Guam and I was accepted. Then I went to Guam in maybe 1995. I went there for 2 years to study English and some other courses, philosophy and that. Yeah. In the meantime, when I was there, I was at St. Ignatius' House of Study. That's a house for men who want to become priests, could be a Jesuit or diocesan. Mm. Once you're there, you have to be there for 2 years. After 2 years, you make decision if you want to join the Jesuit or the diocesan.
Mm-hmm.
If you join the Jesuit, they will send you to Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
If you join the diocese, they will send you to Fiji.
Mm.
Fiji Island. So for myself, I say, well, I want to be a Jesuit, but I don't want to go to Philippines. I want to go to Fiji. It's more beautiful. So through my discernment, then I decided to go to Fiji. So I went to Fiji, then I studied philosophy over there for 3 years, and then I graduated from philosophy school. Then my bishop came, and he asked myself and another classmate of mine that he want to send us to California to study there at St. Patrick's Seminary in Menlo Park.
Oh, yeah, Menlo Park.
Yeah, first time, Sulpician, yeah. When he asked me, my impression is no, because we watch a lot of violence movie back home, mm-hmm. and I thought it's not safe to come here because of what we saw in movie, but it's not right, mm-hmm. it's wrong. So I was there once, he said that you have to go to California. I said, no. In second year, he came back to visit us. He said, you have to go. Mm-hmm. So he pulled us out from seminary in Fiji. We went home for the summer. And then when the school year came, we were sent to California to attend a seminary over there. And it was very hard because culturally it's very totally different. Everything is different.
Mm-hmm.
Huge continent. Back home is small island. We know everybody. We look after everybody.
Sure.
There, I didn't know anybody. I was mm-hmm. homesick and lonely. I just wanted to go back. Then, through myself, I wanted to be survived. I started to reach out, talking to people, meeting people. Then, when I know that I have friends, then that's when I start to adjust to the culture, get used to it. Then I was studying there, studying my theology there. And in my third year theology, my mom died. Mm. So I decided to go home. I went home, I buried her, and I came back, then I left seminary.
Mm-hmm.
So I quit seminary for 1 year. Then I decided, where should I go? No, I'm not in school. So I have some cousins. They live in New London, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
I contact them. I say, is it okay if I come and stay with you guys? They say, okay, come over. So I moved from California to New London, Connecticut.
That's quite a move. Mm-hmm. Weather-wise.
It was very cold because I think I came in January.
Oh.
So I came, it's a big culture shock for me. It was very cold. I don't know anybody besides my family over there. So when I was there, I was looking for a church. I find the church. I still go to church every day. Mm-hmm. And I started to take my nephews with me. We go to church after school. I take them to church. Every Sunday, I take them to church. In the meantime, when I was go to church, I talked to the priest. I introduced myself, and I told him that I was a seminarian, but I left, and now I'm looking for a job. Then luckily, the mayor of the town is a Catholic and active in church. He came to Mass one time. The pastor there introduced me to her. And then she told me, come next week. So she worked. I went down and got the job at the New London Housing Authority. Mm-hmm. So I was working for 1 year. And then later on, I say, I still feel something in my heart. I think God is still calling me to the priesthood. Because I wasn't satisfied, I wasn't happy when I was working. Mm-hmm. Then I talked to the pastor. I said, can you help me? I want to go back to seminary, but I want somewhere is close to the ocean. And then he said, you want to apply Long Island? I applied the Long Island test because I like Long Island. It's mm-hmm. like an island.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they didn't accept me because they said, I have to know somebody there mm-hmm. and I have to live in Long Island to be in order to be accepted. Mm-hmm. Then I didn't accept it there. Then he asked me to apply for Hartford Diocese. I said, that's inland. I don't like to be to be in
the
island.
God is calling you to the ocean.
I said, well, somewhere close to the ocean.
I thought we were going to lose you to Rhode Island.
Yeah, and then I applied to preach for diocese. Right away, they were interested. They said, introduce who you are. I introduced myself. They said, can we connect to your former bishop? Mm. So they emailed my former bishop. He responded back, everything is okay. Then they got me right away.
Then so did you go to St. John Fisher Seminary?
Yes. So from that moment, they sent me to St. John Fisher for 2 years. They want me to be there just to get to know the culture, get to know the diocese, the people, mm-hmm. and for them to get to know me. So I was there with few bunch of guys over there. Few they made it, few they left the seminary. Mm-hmm. And when I was there for 2 years, after that, they sent me to St. Joseph Seminary in Yonkers.
No, Dunwoody.
Dunwoody. Yeah, yeah.
Dunwoody.
So I went to Dunwoody for. When I went there, I started again third year theology. Because mm-hmm. that's where I left. I left in the third theology in California. So I went to Dunwoody for. Restart again the third year. And then the next year of fourth year, that's when I was completed. Then I was ordained deacon in 2008. I was assigned to St. Mary in Greenwich. Mm. So I was there for 1 year as a deacon, preparing for the priesthood. That's a transitional deacon. And when I was there, completed the first year, 2009, I was ordained. And from the ordination after that, they assigned me to St. James Parish in Stratford.
That's right.
And I've been at St. James for 6 years as assistant pastor mm-hmm. to Father Tom Lynch. And then after 6 years being there, Larry called me from Sacred Heart, called me. He said that he asked me if I want to be a chaplain at Sacred Heart University. My first response is no. I don't want to go back to school and farming, and mm-hmm. I don't like that. I don't know what his chaplain means to college. Mm-hmm. Then he asked me, okay, pray over it. I didn't pray for it because I didn't want it. The second time he called me, he didn't call. He asked that he wanted to have lunch with me. So we set up the date. He came to Stratford. We had lunch, and I felt that he wanted me to come here. Mm-hmm. But still, I was nervous. I didn't know what it was like. Then he came. We had lunch. Then he set up a date. I have to come here to see the campus, mm-hmm. and also set up a date. I'll come and say mass. Then I can okay. Let me try. But I wasn't really into it.
Mm. Enthusiastic.
I wasn't yet enthusiastic for it. Mm. Then the day came, I came and visit them. He showed me some student. I was in interview with some student. I was seeing them at Linda's. We had breakfast together. They told me about campus ministry and this and that. I went to campus ministry. I met the priest over there. We talked. And then I met those campus ministers, people over there. We talked. And after that, we went and met the president in his office. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we went for lunch. No, we went for mass. I went and say mass. Right away, I say mass. Mm-hmm. Then after mass, we went for lunch. And then after that, I went home like in the afternoon. I was so tired. When I went home, then he sent me text that everybody likes me. Mm-hmm. I said to my sister, that means you guys really want me. Then I knew that they really wanted me, and then they told me that they want me over here. And then the bishop, they talked to the bishop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I was asked, I went and met the bishop. And then bishop told me that he's going to assign me to Sacred Heart University for 3 years with the possible of extension.
Mm-hmm.
Or after 1 year, I can see him and talk to him if I want to continue or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I accepted. And then I left St. James. And then February 2016, last year, I started being a campus minister here at Sacred Heart University.
It has been a long journey from Micronesia to Sacred Heart University. It has been a long journey. How has this journey changed you?
The church has given me more strength, more confidence in myself, that I can be in a strange environment, but I can be myself, I can be who I am. With God's grace, everything will come through, come together.
Have you been able to travel back to Micronesia
to visit
your family?
When I was in California every summer, I have to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
But when I moved up here and joined these diocese when I was in the seminary here, I never have the chance to go back. But right after my ordination, they allowed me to go back home. So I was able to go back. I visit family in Hawaii. I did my first Mass in Hawaii. I went to Guam, visit families in Guam, say my first Mass over there.
Mm.
I went back to Chuuk, my state. I say my first Mass on the main island. Then I was able to take boat. Takes one overnight to go to my small island to say my first Mass over there. So it took me a month to go home and come back here.
How do you compare? It was very interesting that you said in the small island the students just went to church and Mass because there's nothing to do. There's no video game. There's no television.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you compare that type of living compared to what the kids do here in the States?
Growing up on the island, I think it's a very peaceful environment because no distraction, and we don't want that. Compare here, I grew up with I stay with some of my nephew here. Everything they ask me when I was working, I had money, they want to go to toy store to buy this, to buy that.
Mm-hmm.
Every birthday, every Christmas, they always expected something.
Mm.
But back home, we don't. The kids, when we grow up, they didn't expect anything. So it's very peaceful over there. Here, lots of stress because we want
consumer.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of things we want over here. So big difference.
Mm.
Did you, even though you might say they're not the same types of activities here that there was there, as a child growing up, were you involved with the work of the adults, like fishing and other aspects? Or were you just allowed to be kids playing around?
Oh, that's very important you asked that because we have this culture called Falke.
Mm-hmm.
Falke, I compare it to the church confirmation program.
Mm-hmm.
Falke is when men learning what men are supposed to do, women are doing what girls are doing, what girls are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So during the summer, men will sleep together, stay together in a man's house, in the canoe house.
Mm-hmm.
While they stay together, they learn from some of the leaders, learn how to fish, and learn how to be man in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, women are staying with women to learn how to be a woman in the culture. And we stay for 3 months. In the meantime, they learn how to make the fishing trap, and they will go and soak it in the water for 3 months. Then after 3 months, when it is time for Falke, then all the boys will go out on their canoe to go look at their fish trap. In the meantime, women are pounding their breadfruit, prepare the breadfruit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time when the boys are coming, girls are coming, all the people will come to see who are the men, who are the girls who are going to be called initiation to be adult, to be woman, to be man in the culture. So we see, we know who they are, and that time the culture will be applied on them. Means they're no longer kids.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to be act like a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be act like a man. You are no longer children.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a certain expectation on us during that time.
Is there a certain age when this happens?
I think when you are like 8th grade, around that age, you are supposed to be go through that.
So you take on more responsibilities and a different understanding of yourself. Yeah, you can see almost it's part of the fishing and agricultural world that America once was. We had very defined roles, and everybody really had to work in a certain setting to survive, you know, to make things function. And then, of course, now is a service or a society where you know everybody can do everything just about, and it changes things a great deal. Now, when you took on campus ministry, now you're dealing with young men and women coming to school, all of them pursuing careers, different careers.
Yeah.
Did you have to kind of adjust your thinking as to how to minister to them? Or were your parish work kind of got you into that?
Luckily, when I was at St. James for 6 years, about 3 years when I was there, I was called to be the youth minister. So I was preparing high school students before they go to college. And for there, I have some adults that we run the youth ministry. In the meantime, we run the confirmation program. So I kind of know how to deal with the teenage that time, but never know how do they go to college.
Yeah.
And now I'm here at Sacred Heart University. I see kids, they come to campus ministry office or minister with them. Some of them are still just like high school students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's very easy to work with them because they're still young, I would say, younger than myself. And they will come. They will come to me. I just talk to them like the way I would talk to high school student.
So, in the culture, not expected to be defined more as, you know, even though they call young men and women, they're away maturity-wise, but for being that. And so you could function with them a little bit differently. What do they, are they fascinated by your life? And do they want to learn about?
They do. First, they're very curious about where I come from. And a free mass on Sunday, whenever I talk about my background, they always listen attentively to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like they're watching TV when I tell the story.
Mm.
And sometimes after mass, they will come to my office and visit me and ask more questions.
Mm.
Just try to understand how is life on the island.
Exactly.
Like.
They have to be fascinated. But just for you to say that there's no electricity powered in the island and you study with a kerosene lamp, I cannot imagine any student fathoming that here in the United States. So for them, it has to be a very, very interesting topic to bring up and talk to.
Few students, they came talk to me. I told them that there is an excuse for them to fail their class because they study under a light.
Mm-hmm.
While back home, there's excuse for us not to be smart because we use kerosene lime, or sometimes when we run out of kerosene, we don't have things to study. So we have to study daytime before nighttime. Mm-hmm.
Simple things that we all take for granted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you able to bring something from your culture, your understanding of life, appreciation for life and for faith? Are you able to bring that to them in any particular way?
Just the mass. Sometimes I try to do enculturation in mass. For example, when the president of my country decided to come to visit me here, that was a very point for Sacred Heart University, that when the president from my country came to New York, he found out that I was a chaplain here, he decided to come to visit me.
That must have been overwhelming for you.
I was so worried, because he brought these 11 of them, two ambassadors, and all these 11 delegates taken from back home, and the ambassador to United Nations, ambassador to Washington, D.C., they all came with him. And I had to set up a party with them at St. James. And the next day, they have to come to Mass of Air. In that way, I tried to do some enculturation. I asked them to sit at the front. And during the offertory, my family brought all the lays. And then they offered to me, all those who helped me during Mass, to President and his delegation, and to President John Pitillo and his wife, and those from SHU, they were there for the Mass. That's the only thing, one enculturation I try in my liturgy. And they ask what it means, then I explain what it means to them. It means love, welcoming, and appreciation. And they were very fascinated with it because they never see that during Mass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, you were also very lucky and very blessed to have been sent to St. James with Father Tom Lynch, such a wonderful, kind, generous priest who has been a guest many times here at our program. But he's a wonderful, wonderful man. So you've been very lucky.
It was a blessing to be assigned to him because I would say that I've learned a lot from him. Mm-hmm. I think I've developed my confidence in me as a priest from him. Mm-hmm. He's very different from many priests because he's very outgoing and he do things that we thought that we won't do, but it gives me courage to do things. Mm-hmm. He helped me with how to prepare with funeral, how to do wedding, so many sacramental stuff he did. He helped me that I become independent now. I know what to do because of, I learned from him. Mm-hmm. So I learn well from him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that again, that's a wonderful thing because, you know, if you ever ended up in a place where you feel isolated, you know, where there's not a lot of communication or it could have really, really sad effect on you. But what I'm wondering is with you now is what you feel. You've been here a few months as chaplain. Do you have any particular goals that you would like to see happen for either you and or the students while you're here?
My goal is for the student that when they leave Sacred Heart University, they're not just intellectual, smart, but I want them to perform, develop mentally, emotionally, and also develop their spirituality. So when they go out to the world, they change the world from what they have learned here at Sacred Heart University. Mm. So little things that we do together on campus, I hope that they learn from it. And then when they move out from Sacred Heart University, they remember what they learned here spiritually, academically, and so that they can change the world.
Well, they certainly see how the gospel of our Lord and the faith is really a Catholic faith. It's a universal faith that reaches throughout the world. I hear you are from halfway around the globe. Are there any other students here who are from anywhere near Micronesia that you know of? Or?
I have come to know some students. They're not Micronesia, but they're from Samoa and from Hawaii. So we relate to each other very well because we have similar culture. When we find out that we're from the islands, we just bond together.
Oh, sure. You have a lot of connection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit about, you know, almost through with this first program, can you tell us a little bit about how someone can contact campus ministry from outside? You know, could they, some telephone call or some email or anything that you know? Or
yeah, we do have email. Like each one of us, there are four of us campus minister. Each one of us, we have our own email. And also phone number. My email is roby@sacredheart.edu. And my cell phone number is 860-271-1885.
Very good. I'd like to encourage any listeners who might want to find out a little bit more to go online and just Sacred Heart University, Fairfield, Connecticut, and Campus Ministry, and you'll learn a lot about the entire staff. But Father Roby, it's been a delight having you here on this program, and we are very, very happy that you are part of the Sacred Heart community, and I'd like to wish you, as a person who did spend a year or two as a campus minister myself at Western Connecticut State University up in Danbury, I appreciate how challenging it is, and my prayers are with you, and I wish you and your staff a very successful year. And our listeners, thank you. God bless, and join us again.